Test, test, 1, 2, 3.
Sounds, looks good.
Looks good.
I don't know what it sounds like, but it looks good.
It looks good. It sounds good.
Welcome to Continuing Conversations.
I like this announcer voice you got. Welcome. Let's get ready to rumble. That sort of vibe going on. Yeah. Let's get ready to exegete scripture. Woo-hoo! A little less exciting when you do that.
Yeah, true.
Welcome to Continuing Conversations. I'm Pastor Matt.
I'm Pastor Dana.
And welcome. It's been a couple of weeks. Again, I feel like a broken record because I've said that the last couple of times we've gotten together. But it's the summer, you know? We're just out of it. It's just, this is what happens in the summer.
Unhinged schedule.
Feels a bit unhinged in the schedule because the program year ends and then it seems like you blink your eye and then VBS is here.
And now it's almost July.
And now it's nearly July. Next Sunday is the 29th, I believe.
It is the fifth Sunday
of June. It's the fifth Sunday. Don't like months that have five Sundays because that's just a lot.
They're not our favorites.
Not our favorites. But it is what it is. And it's just weird. Yeah, it's weird that it's almost July. But yeah, VBS in the rear view. Done with that. True North.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Now we're going to our false south.
False South.
From True North.
Sure, to False South. I thought you were, because we did get the new theme for next year's.
Oh, I'm not spoiling that.
But we can't spoil it, but it's not False South. That's what I thought you were doing. I was like, what does that have to do with next year's theme? And I'm like, oh, you're just doing a play on words, but. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Feels good to be back. We're talking about demons today.
One of my favorites.
I know.
So I got really excited about it.
I never took a demonology class in seminary. That was one that you took.
Yeah. Well, it was an optional, what is that called? Elective.
An elective.
An elective.
Yeah, it's fine. We got a couple of those.
Well, and it was one of those good seminary classes, too, where it was a lot of discussion. It was a lot of, like, potentially, like,
right.
with you know, your little stuck up, like, we don't really know the answer to things, but potentially could be whatever.
Because,
like,
we don't. So, and that's the crazy thing about a lot of
you make a lot of concessions when you have to. Don't know things.
I mean, there's almost nothing in the Bible in general that you can speak univocally about.
Right.
You know, the Bible says a lot of stuff about a lot of different stuff. So, you know, when people come up and they say, you know, what is hell? Or, you know, it's like, the Bible doesn't say, like, one thing is hell.
No.
Hell is a lot of different things in the Bible. It's the same thing with Satan. You know, who is Satan?
Yeah.
And it's like, the truth is, if you're reading it scripturally, Satan is more of a title. It's more of like a position that a lot of different people throughout scriptures step into and out of. It's not like Satan is a guy.
Like a body.
A body. Yeah, a guy in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork that people imagine. Same thing with hell. It's like we want this idea that's like, well, there's 12 layers and, you know, because that's what Dante said. But that's not scriptural. That's not biblical. That's just stuff we made up
to
make sense of it.
And it's all of this different like imagery that we have put to these ideas and things. Demons, for sure. You've got, you know, you've got horror movies and
You got like Annabelle
and stuff. And some of this stuff that you think of, everyone's got that picture in their head when you think of demons or
think of The Exorcist or with the girl spinning head laying in the bed, you know.
You think of that. I don't think of that. But like
when I think of like demon possession and exorcism.
Oh, yeah. Exorcism.
Yeah. I think
sure.
of that girl in the bed with the spinning head and the vomit. And it's disgusting.
Which is also why I feel like I was kind of trying to be careful not to say exorcism, too. Like that has a certain connotation, which
absolutely
is what this
carries a lot of baggage.
Was technically an exorcism, but like that carries so much weight for people, and this isn't an academic seminary class to
this is not the appropriate
to be like, let's have a full discussion on what exorcism means. So choosing language that like is actually gonna I don't know, keep people from some of that imagery is right. really challenging.
It's tough, yeah, because you've got to kind of about
demons
tiptoe.
Like, so I was trying to use more like demonic activity,
sure,
right? Like
right.
this is kind of a murky gray area.
It's the perfect way.
Yeah,
you did a good job with towing that line because yeah, it's like it's very easy to get into essentially. Like an academic study of it. And that's not
right.
what a sermon is
no.
supposed to be. So yeah, your focus on what we call demonic activity is, yeah, that's a good, because that's something we can mm-hmm. all relate to mm-hmm. because we see it every single day.
And to not demonize people as,
right. Yeah, ironically,
as we,
let's not demonize
right.
people through this
right.
study of demons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people
but that,
with
that
mental
is
illness
not,
and stuff.
That is not, mm-hmm. you know, that doesn't define them.
No, and
so
we're not going to do
we're
that.
Not,
yeah.
Which is really why I wish Legion got a new name in the story.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
I am a little surprised by that. I think that's
yeah,
one where
the
I'm
end,
like, wait.
Jesus wasn't like, you shall be Steve. And he's
yeah,
like, yes,
like,
I was
yes.
Legion. I now am Steve.
Because
yeah.
that happens so much in the Bible.
Yeah, people get new
and,
names all the time in the Bible.
So I think this is a funny mm-hmm. one where we like don't get to see that. And it makes it
yeah.
harder than to make the transition in talking about
mm-hmm.
him from the demon-possessed guy to the
right.
not demon-possessed
yeah,
guy. Like
whatever his new identity was after.
Why would you call him Legion after he doesn't
yeah,
have
he doesn't
legions
contain multitudes
anymore.
Yeah. anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
it seems a little odd, but
okay, so we're
know.
Jumping right in today.
Yeah,
we didn't
are.
Do any like fun little
no, yeah. Are you watching any reality TV shows or anything?
No.
We're watching 90 Day Fiancé. Have you ever seen that show?
I have seen bits and pieces of that.
That's what we're watching right now, and it is so fascinating because
yeah.
these people are so strange
oh, yeah,
in
really
so many
weird.
Ways
yeah.
because they have found love
yep.
across the sea, you know, in some foreign country. And that's not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just there are so many hurdles, cultural hurdles. Mm-hmm. There's so much like political red tape that they have to go through to obtain the K-1 visa.
Yeah.
And they have 90 days
yeah.
to
wow.
get married or else the person gets deported back to their country. And of course, with everything swirling in our world today with deportations
this,
and everything,
yeah,
I'm like,
I was going to say, is this live or is this like
no, this
years
is,
old?
The one we're on like season 4. So
okay.
this is probably like 2017 at this point.
Okay.
So we're like well behind. But it does make me think as I'm watching this, like how many of these people are still here in the States? Because
oh,
it's
yeah.
very, it's shocking. Almost everybody on the show, despite their many foibles and all the, you know, because it's reality TV.
Right.
So
right.
they get in a lot of crazy arguments and, you know, there's a lot of drama that happens on the show. They all end up getting married, despite
mm-hmm.
like a lot of the families are against this whole arrangement. Because for a lot of cases, it seems like the person they're getting married to is doing it for a green card. That's
yeah.
like a big part
yeah,
of the
yeah.
show is like, there's always confrontation with the family. There's always some aunt or you know, cousin that has to be like, you're just getting married for a green card. And there's, you know, it's big drama, whatever. But
yeah, well.
I do think about that of now in the political world we're in today. I wonder how many of those people are still here or that left because of fear or did they get, you know, caught up in all of this stuff? Who knows? It's because
yeah.
it's very,
yeah, true.
It's very strange, but yeah, this show dives a little bit into the politics of the K-1 visa process and
okay.
immigration.
Because okay.
for a lot of these people, they are coming from a country where there's no chance for citizenship. I mean, it's like the fastest, if you're from like Guatemala, let's say.
Yeah.
It's like the fastest you can get citizenship is like 35 years. Like if you're just like waiting in line, you
really?
Know. Oh yeah. It takes, I mean,
okay.
that's
I, yeah,
a lot wow. of the conversation of like these people, why don't they go through the legal channels? It's like our legal system is broken.
Yeah. It's,
when it comes to immigration, if you're
yeah.
coming from a third world country to America,
well,
you do not have very many avenues. The fastest avenue you can get there is if you have a job already,
yeah.
and you can prove that
right.
you have a job lined up, like some
right.
paperwork, and a family member, blood relative, already living in the States.
Okay.
If you have those
yep.
two things, that's a fast track.
Mm-hmm.
And fast track is like 15 years. Like, so that's like the
that's
best
crazy.
You can do. Our system,
yeah.
it's broken.
Well,
so.
But isn't it even like the way that our system is set up, it's mm-hmm. not like to enter the country you need you know, a visa or mm-hmm. something,
right.
you get that
mm-hmm.
even short-term visas.
Yeah.
And not to become a citizen, but mm-hmm. just like to be here
to visit.
Legally. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. you have time to do that
yeah,
once
you
get
time.
In the country. Mm-hmm. It's not like you yeah. just show like your passport at the airport
right.
and
yeah.
and then
yeah.
you go. So like, so yeah, I think this argument of like, well, they should do it legally. Well, sometimes they're fleeing
yeah.
like for yeah. their lives.
And they're, you don't have time.
This isn't like a, yeah. let me plan this mm-hmm. out.
Yeah. You need asylum. And you're seeking asylum because your life is in danger. Yeah, when I went to Juarez, I've been on a couple mission trips to Juarez, Mexico. And that's
yeah.
the thing you hear most of all is like,
yeah.
I'm being chased by somebody here,
yeah.
you know, and my life is in danger, whether it's a cartel or whatever. And it's like, I have to go and I have to go with my family now. Mm-hmm. I don't have 15 years to wait and meet with a lawyer and get the
right
paperwork
right.
and then get the all the red tape. It's like, I gotta go now.
Yeah.
And it's yeah,
but that's how our country was founded on
yeah.
on this idea mm-hmm. that like anyone
yeah. bring me your poor, your huddled
yeah.
masses. That's what
yeah.
The Statue
of
Liberty.
Have you been to the Statue
of
Liberty?
I've seen it. I've never taken the little ferry out to
it, though. My brother lived there a few years ago, lived in New York, and he lived at the
wow,
Statue of
Liberty. I didn't know they had apartments.
he
lived up
he
in
lived
the little
in Brooklyn,
the little,
okay.
the little torch. Ooh, Brooklyn, that's cool.
But that was the one thing that
yeah.
I really wanted to do. And yeah, because they take you to the statue, the ferry takes
mm-hmm.
you to the Statue of Liberty, and then you take the next ferry to Ellis
right.
Island.
Yes.
And like just all of that history is so
cool.
And
mm-hmm.
this like this place where all these immigrants enter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
yeah.
so cool. I loved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can like feel the energy
yeah.
in a city like New York of like, wow, like there's just, you can just feel like this is where so many
yeah.
people arrived on these shores and was like, this is my new life. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's very cool. So anyway, that's what we're watching right now, 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's reality TV, so a lot of it is very like trashy and bad, you
yeah.
know, but that's
yeah.
that's part of the fun. But a lot of it is they do kind of dive into the red tape of how the immigration process goes.
Yeah.
So anyway, so yeah. the thing, if you can get a K-1 visa, which says you're going to marry a U.S. citizen,
mm-hmm.
which, that's the fastest fast track. You
'kay.
Can,
yep.
you get here and
yep.
you have 90 days to get married. And if you get married, then you're a citizen and
mm-hmm.
you get, but if you don't, then you got to go back. So a lot of
mm-hmm.
this show is like, is this going to work? Because a lot of these people met online and they've never actually like been together
like
in
spend
person.
Time together.
So it's
yeah.
like, it is very
mm-hmm.
odd. The characters that come out of the show are very strange,
mm-hmm.
but it's good. It's a good show. I think
yep.
it's on TLC.
Okay.
The Learning Channel. That's what TLC stands for. Isn't that so funny? There's nothing learning
there's
going on.
There's nothing learning. Like
it's like when you
remember
go on,
when they had What Not to Wear on
yeah,
TLC?
Yeah, The Learning Channel.
The learning
what Not
channel.
To Wear. It's like when you go on the History Channel and it's just a day's worth of programming of like space aliens and it's like yeah history really they've really gotten away from history but anyway. Now
anyway,
we can
okay
get
yeah
into
now
the text.
now we did our
out
duty.
Of the way
mm-hmm.
get to the text. So what is our passage gospel passage this morning?
So our gospel,
I can't read it upside down.
Our gospel came from Luke chapter 8, the end of chapter 8, where
mm-hmm.
Jesus goes all the way across the Sea of Galilee, because
yes.
a lot of his ministry happens on the west side
mm-hmm.
of the Sea of Galilee. This
yes.
is, I had a map, and then I just like disregarded that stuff.
Yes,
like the northwest side is where
a lot of the ministry happens.
It's where Cana
mm-hmm.
is with the water to wine, and
yeah.
he hangs out there
right.
a lot.
A lot of those stories you'd recognize. Northwest
yeah,
side,
northwest side, and then he travels to Gerasenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not, and I've been saying Gerasenes.
Gerasenes.
Because that's what
I
heard. I don't know. There was a professor, I could have sworn, Gerasene demoniac, because I love that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Gerasene demoniac. That's I've heard that a million times in my
huh.
life. The Gerasene demoniac.
Maybe you can say it either way. GIF,
I think
GIF,
you can
whatever.
Say, it's like GIF, GIF, whatever. You can say it either way. Just say it one way. Don't
yeah.
flounder back and forth. But, you know, who knows, really?
So so he travels to Gerasenes.
Gerasene.
And,
mm-hmm.
Which is on the opposite, it's on the east side
right.
of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different town.
Right.
Which already sets you up for like, this is going to be a different story than the regular ministry that Jesus has been doing.
Right.
Because he's traveling all this way. And I think the word opposite It's Gerasenes, which is opposite of Galilee. I think the word opposite in there sets mm-hmm. up this, like, something's...
Yeah.
Something's going to be a little dichotomy here.
This, like, is bizarro world yeah. over here.
Yeah.
Opposite mm-hmm. of Galilee. So opposite. We're in a...
We're in Whoville now.
We're in Whoville. We're in opposite world. Yeah. Well, yeah, that yeah. gets back to your Grinch yeah. analogy, which yeah. I loved. I'd never heard of that before. And that's just
I could have gone deeper
way.
With that, too. This is like my sermon could have been 40 minutes long.
Oh, yeah.
Long
you
today,
could have taken your time on this, but, man. You know, you only get about 10 minutes.
Which
but.
I think I took 15, so sorry. Mm,
it's all right. It's good. There was a lot in there. But, yeah. Like, yeah, I've never heard that analogy of the Grinch, and I'll never think of the Gerasene demoniac.
I didn't want to either because I don't
want
to, like, call the Grinch a demon, right? Like,
no, gosh,
but I,
no.
But I also wanted to, like, soften the demoniac yeah. a little mm-hmm. bit to be like, maybe he's not actually this, like, scary
yeah.
guy,
right.
but he's the
clearly
town's
the
Grinch,
town's guy, yeah.
who they know where he is.
He's this
he's up there.
Wild,
he's not going to bother
naked
us.
Naked man.
Yeah.
That's just, like, roaming around, has no friends, has
yeah.
nobody to,
yeah.
you know, he's all on his own little island. Yeah, I thought that was great. I was like, yeah, he is like up on his own little Mount Crumpet there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good way to sort of, yeah, I wanted to say humanize him, but he's a who. Who-eyes him.
Who-eyes him.
That's hard
yeah.
to say.
Yeah.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I liked that a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope that analogy.
Yeah, he's about as
bit,
outsider as an outsider can be. Is
mm-hmm.
is the point
mm-hmm.
of understanding
mm-hmm.
who Legion is.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, he's the first person in the welcoming party.
Mm-hmm.
As
mm-hmm.
outsider as outsider can be, but this guy is the first person, you know, ready to greet Jesus when
right.
he gets steps off
right.
the boat. He's the guy there. He's as outsider can be, but he knows Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He knows who this man is. He knows the power. And what
well,
a wonderful
think,
thing, you know? What that's a great image to be like this guy who everybody's like, what a wacky loony. It's like,
yeah.
well, he's the one who figured it out. You know,
right.
he's the one who knows. He's got his finger on the pulse somehow of this man, this great person.
Yeah.
God in human form is coming to visit our town.
Well, and I think we're going to get more into this as we go through the sermon too, but this is like, what a humble act that he has to
mm-hmm.
do to recognize, like, Jesus is here
yeah.
to do the healing.
Right.
Right. Everyone else is like,
uh-oh,
principal's coming down the hallway. What did
yeah.
we do? What
we're
do we need?
Trouble.
Like,
yeah, we're getting a visit.
Yeah, we're getting a visit from this Messiah guy, but
mm-hmm.
like, we're fine. Don't come
right.
heal us.
Right.
So, and maybe that's a skeptical way to look at it. Maybe the townspeople were stepping back to be like, yeah, yeah, Legion needs
yeah.
the healing
help
the most.
Guy.
Yeah.
yeah,
like
I don't know. Based on their reaction after he was healed, it
right.
doesn't seem like they're the type of people that are like, yay, I'm glad someone was helped. Yeah,
right.
it's like that
right.
guy needed our help. It sounds like maybe they were more like, how dare you help this crazy man? Why does
well,
he deserve grace and forgiveness and healing?
And the point that I like was really hard to figure out how to get across for me was this, like, what they wanted to keep him as their own little scapegoat,
their own little
of
scapegoat,
like,
yeah.
mm-hmm. of like, if that guy is worse off than me,
makes
then I'm not
better.
That bad
mm-hmm.
and I don't need healing because that guy really needs it. So
mm-hmm.
we're fine.
Yeah.
Like
there's
I can
always
deny,
somebody like that. Mm-hmm.
I can deny all of my things
yeah.
as long as that guy stays the way that he is
yeah.
in the place that he is. And we don't touch him.
Boy,
like,
is that relevant to
right? that,
so much of our world.
And I couldn't figure out how to like really wrap that in
we
there.
We as a society always need a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Always need a person
yeah.
or a culture or a people something to go, they're the bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
At least we're not like mm-hmm. those. And we can all rally around pointing fingers at
yeah.
some celebrity du jour or some culture or
not
some
even
whatever.
Celebrity. I'd say like the poor people on the corners at exits.
Those people,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
well, I don't have to hold up a sign to ask for
money. At least I'm not that
guy.
Yeah, at least I'm not that person, and so I can feel better about myself. If those people were healed, if those people were brought back into the fold of society, if they were given spaces to be,
yeah,
what would we do without our our little legion? Yeah. We'd have to look at ourselves.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Which is also what I was trying to say.
I don't
want to
look at myself.
Is that once he is healed, they are forced to look back at themselves and say, whoa,
I don't like what I'm seeing.
If that guy can be healed, maybe there's something.
Yeah. Because it says in there, after the man is healed, the people are filled with fear. Filled with fear.
Right.
What are they so afraid of?
And that
what is the fear?
Well, that's the question of, like, Jesus heals this guy with all this stuff, who's been tortured by demons, and, you
his
know,
whole life
and
long,
violent, whatever, and it's offensive.
Their response
filled with fear.
Yeah, their response is like, you know, he heals people, get him out. I don't like this man. It's wild.
It is. It's so interesting. And well, and then I don't know. There's so many questions around the fear of like fear
what
of
is,
what?
What
and
is
where
to
is
be afraid of? And I think
fear.
I think
is,
your point of eliminating the scapegoat, you got nobody to point fingers at except for yourselves. Like, finally you have then a mirror pointed back at yourself, and you don't like what you see, and that's mm-hmm. is something to be feared, I guess
so.
That's
we
it.
Have a so we as a people have a fear of our own selves.
We have a fear of our own brokenness, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's I think that's, you know, they say opposites attract, you know. And a big reason why a lot of times the people that you are in conflict with the most, they, you know, clinical psychologists often say the people you're in conflict with the most, the reason why you feel so much tension and conflict with them is because there's something in them that you don't like in yourself. And that,
say more,
that rubs you the wrong way, because there's something you
like
see
what?
In
Can you
them.
Give an example?
Like, if there's somebody in your life that you're just like, ugh, that person, you know, they're always so, I don't know, they're so confrontational, or they're so whatever, and I just hate that. There might be something in your head going, well, that's what I don't like about myself. And there's a mirror faced back on yourself.
Oh, you're not saying it's an opposites attract. It's a, like,
it's
I
a,
do
I
that
see
too.
I see the brokenness
okay.
in them that I see
yeah,
in
okay.
myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't like that. And that's why we're always butting heads.
So it's the, like, log in your own eye.
Yeah,
whatever,
for sure.
Removing that first
so
to
the
say,
fear in these people is.
Do you think we're perceptive enough to say, to see someone else do something that we do. Mm-hmm. I don't know why in my head I'm like being mean to waiters at a restaurant.
Yeah,
right?
No, that's a great
okay.
example. Yeah,
okay.
for sure.
So mm-hmm. someone you know, mean to a waiter at a restaurant, and you're like, mm-hmm. dang,
yeah.
stop that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that, mm-hmm. I can't believe you're mean to waiters. Do
right.
you think we're that perceptive, or maybe we're not perceptive enough
yeah.
to not see, like, oh, that's
yeah, there are ways
me.
That maybe I'm judgmental of people in the service industry too, but I don't, maybe I don't outwardly act the way they act, so now I can feel better about myself, even though there's something in me that's harboring some feelings. I don't know if we're that perceptive, but
no, I'd say
we're not perceptive. No,
because
we can't.
You would think that when we look at that other person and say, you're mean to waiters, oh shoot, that's what I look like when I'm mean to
whoever.
Service people,
mm-hmm.
right? Like,
yeah.
but
yeah.
we don't do that.
No, we can't see it in ourselves.
We do it as, you're meaner
mm-hmm.
than I am, so
yeah.
I must be nice.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not
I'm a
that
good
mean
yeah. mm-hmm.
in relation to you, I am now good.
Right. Yes.
Right? So
yeah.
that's how not perceptive we are
yeah.
at our own relationship to other people.
Correct. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, it's
okay.
wild. So,
okay.
So what are they so fearful of? I mean, it could be just that Jesus is showing a great power. Like, that's an amazingly powerful thing to do, be able to heal a person. And that's what freaks him out, is just this great power that he shows. But also, probably, now that their scapegoat is gone, the local
right.
loony
there's
guy,
no, yeah,
there's
no
barrier
relation
now.
To
yeah,
anything.
No, it's like, oh,
like,
no.
I
now,
can't compare myself to anything.
I'm just analyzing how broken
yeah.
I am.
Or do you, okay, so I kind of, towards the end of my sermon, was mm-hmm. like, I hope that they changed and they celebrated this guy who got healed. I wonder if they just found a new scapegoat.
probably. Yeah. They just found a new guy. And they're like, no, that guy's bad.
Right.
Tar and feather him. Yep. Push him to the outskirts of town. Yep. And now he's the new crazy
because
guy.
Because that's probably the cycle of our world.
That's the cycle of our world. There's always some enemy that's, those are the bad people.
It's the Blitz from How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, sure. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there always has to be a new Blitz.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. There always has to be somebody that we can.
That takes all the brunt of something.
Takes all of our aggression and our fear, and because that's just the human condition, I guess.
It's so icky. So,
yeah.
So what do we do about our own scapegoats? Like, does someone have to be worse than us for us to feel good about ourselves?
It sure seems like it. You know, there's always somebody or some group of people in our society that we're like, these are the people we need to be afraid of or push out, or these are the bad people. So I don't know. I don't know. It's very difficult. But
there's a lot.
And I think
we didn't even get to the point of like the demons enter the pigs and go.
Yeah, that's always very strange. I know. Too.
But people love talking about that, right? They're like, oh, the demons and the pigs.
Demon and the pigs, and then they go run off into the sea and die. And it's like, wow, scary. Those poor piggies.
Well, and then to have the swine herds, the caretakers of the pigs, be the ones spreading this information around too, right?
Like,
I'm sure that was fearful for the people of like, these guys are the ones sharing this.
And
like,
that's, I mean, pigs are unclean animals, right? Because they don't have cloven feet and they don't chew their cud and they roll around in their own filth and everything. So according to Jewish custom, they're unclean animals. That's why they can't eat pork.
Right.
So yeah, for sure. The people who work with pigs, swine herds,
what did they do with pigs then? If they didn't eat them?
I mean, other people could eat them. Oh, in Gerasene, I mean, they weren't all Israelites, I guess. So I don't know. But
they were Greek.
Greeks can eat pigs. So they were probably slaughtering pigs for other people too. But yeah.
Well, that's probably a nasty
business. Jewish people
then too.
Can't eat pigs, and Muslims can't eat pigs either. That's against the religion of Islam as well. I think they're unclean. So anyway, to your point, though, these are the people spreading the message.
Yeah.
They're unclean people because they work with unclean animals.
Right.
They're ritualistically unclean. So they're for sure not the people to be spreading this message. People definitely rolled their eyes at those people. It's wild. So, yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
That is crazy. But, yeah, it's the question, I think, and the reason why they drove Jesus out of town is probably that, you know, hey, if Jesus can work this sort of healing in this guy, Legion, you know, what can Jesus do with us in our brokenness? And that is scary because now we have to think about our own brokenness and we don't want
to
do that.
Right. It's easier to think about Legions.
I like that you brought up the fact that Jesus treats people possessed with demons with so much tenderness and grace, which is so, I'd never thought about that before, but you're totally right, because the people who are just regular, ordinary, evil, broken, greedy, whatever, he's like very, very in your face rebuke, like you are bad and you should feel bad about being bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to flip your tables and I'm going to whip you
and you
gone.
Better change.
Yeah.
Like
change and change now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But people who are possessed by demons, there's this tenderness where Jesus is like, oh, poor baby.
Oh, poor
baby. Let me help you out. Let me, you know, let me heal you. And then it's like all is good. There's no big
There's
rebuke.
Not even like a question about it. It's not even like a moment. It's just like
Legion.
Jesus healed it. Like there it's not there's not a space between
there's
it.
No
there's not a like, what do you want from me? There's it's just Jesus did it.
There's
like,
no moment where he goes, Legion, how could you have let this happen to your spirit?
Right.
You let
right.
this demon into your life and you should therefore feel blah blah blah. No, he's just like, be gone,
healed,
demon.
Right.
You're healed. Boom. Healed. And that's it. So,
I think the other point, too, was kind of like Jesus isn't scared of demons.
Like, there's nothing.
They're not something that he feels the need to be away from instead of close to.
Right.
Like, and he, I said the point of like, there are demon. There's demon activity in the people in his inner circle.
Right.
If Mary needs to be healed seven times from her demons, it also is something that's reoccurring.
Right.
I get that, like,
I don't know.
But don't there's know. No fear we don't, in it. No, there's no fear in this, like, and that's, demon.
Ah, scary. Which is why, you know, there's a lot of things in our culture, too, and especially around, like, Halloween. Yeah. You know, and there's always those people come on social media or whatever, and they're like, we don't do Halloween in our house because we're Christian. And we don't dress up because that's demonic, and we're not inviting. I always think, you know, how small is your God that you're that worried that a Harry Potter book is going to invite a demon into your house and your puny God isn't enough to cast it out?
I've said this before. I'll say it again. The strongest magic in Harry Potter is
love.
Love.
Yeah. So there are a lot of people who think Harry Potter's demonic and Halloween is demonic. And if you let your child dress up like a witch, you are inviting a demon into your home. And there's evil spirits at war in your house. And it's like, but if you have faith in Jesus, what are you scared of at all? Because Jesus is never sweats
that's
it.
That's always been the point.
So what are you scared of?
But the whole point of Halloween, too, is to laugh at the demons.
To laugh in the face of fear and all that stuff. So none of it makes sense. But that's always the point I go back to is, you know, how little your God must be if you're that worried about
letting demons in.
A fake rubber nose. You know, and, you know, little witchy fingers your daughter's going to put on is inviting a demon. It's like, you need more faith then, because you've misconstrued what demons are in scripture. It's not that.
Well, I trying to make the point in my sermon too of like, it didn't seem like Legion was inviting demons in. Maybe at one point in his life, he was involved. We don't know what he did. We don't know whatever. But he didn't want to stay there.
No.
He wasn't like, I love these demons inside of me. I can do so much.
No.
Like, he wanted to be healed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there isn't this like, once you invite demons in, you're doomed for life.
No.
Like,
it's just, he just happened to
that.
Get it, like somebody gets
then,
leprosy or anything. It's like it's just a thing that inflicted his life.
I'm gonna go back to that in a second
because,
kind of, but just like, yeah, at one point got these demons and then also had the clarity of mind to say, I want to change, like to have a desire to be different, than the demons that he has, right?
Yeah.
The people didn't. The townspeople didn't have this clarity of mind to change.
Not at all.
They wanted him to stay
the
way he was.
They were hoping he would stay that way. They, you know, they seem disappointed that now he gets to walk around as a free person, living and working and doing whatever he wants to do in the world.
I want to be careful of physical conditions, equating them to demonic activity.
Okay. Yeah.
Like leprosy. Just that's
Got it.
That's
understood.
Close.
Yes. It's hard because there's I don't know how else to explain certain things like this, you know.
But it just has been used to demonize people so much in our world with COVID
mental.
Was a tough one too. Mm-hmm. Like the physical distancing of COVID that was necessary was this like, ooh, demons and that just feels so dangerous.
Yep, it does. That's true. You're walking a tightrope with stuff like this.
Yeah,
because you got to use an analogy for it, or else it makes no sense. But what do you choose? Because
I mean, it's a hard line to walk, but it's I don't know, and I don't. I think then sometimes demons get this weird like God let the demons come upon you in your mental health or something, and that.
You're,
like,
you're somehow weaker or something
that's
true.
We can say things like we all have our demons that we deal with, and we do, like there are, which was why I wanted to bring it back to us too, of like we've all got a little mean streak in us that's like I hope karma comes for that person and like
is that demonic in some way
within us, like
I don't know, maybe Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Where do these things come from? I don't know.
So it, I don't know. As much as we can normalize some of that stuff too,
I
don't know. It helps to take some boundaries away.
The more we talk about it, because that's what Jesus is doing here, right? Is he's shining light on stuff that we'd rather keep locked away in our dark tombs, which I like that you kind of closed with that. Mm-hmm. Jesus, the hordes tell him, leave, get out of here. You know, you're too much. You're healing people and it's scaring us. You know, they're filled with fear. Get out. And Jesus does. He doesn't rebuke the crowd. Right. He doesn't say, but I wanted to stay here for a while.
Right.
He, you know, shakes the dust off his feet.
Which I find so interesting.
And he's just like, oh, okay.
That he doesn't argue with this. You know, he doesn't come back and be like, but I healed the guy.
Yeah, like, but what do you want from me?
Shouldn't you be grateful?
I thought you wanted me to do this.
Can't you say thank you?
Don't you all have some stuff you'd want me to heal for you? I'm literally like a miracle worker here. Son of God, hello.
Hello.
But no, they just they just say, get out of here. And he's like, okay, I'll wipe the dust off my sandals and I'm going to move on. And you say, leaves them to the devils they know.
But that's where I see,
I guess it's easier that
Jesus values our intentions and our desires for healing too. Like the people didn't want it. They didn't want him there. They didn't want him.
No, it scared them.
So he wasn't going to heal them without their, I don't know, like
without their consent in some way. Yeah, I guess so.
So,
and the fact that Legion met him was that was enough.
Is that a different devil within them though too? Like, because
that they weren't open to,
I don't know,
Jesus working in their lives. I don't know.
But
they were that
also
hard-hearted somehow. I don't know. I don't know why. It's all very mysterious.
But I also don't know if I believe that about Jesus all the time, that he doesn't heal people without their consent. I think Jesus heals people without their consent all the time.
Yeah.
But maybe it's not a like in your face, come sit at my feet kind of a healing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Maybe
I don't know.
This town needed to exercise the demons on their own. Maybe Legion was the new charge for this new age of, who knows? We don't hear much about Gerasene for the rest of the scriptures. I don't
know.
There's not much happens there in that town for the rest of the time. So who knows what happened to them?
It just is
Did
kind
they
of a funny
fall into the
story.
Sea? Did they start thriving? I don't know. But that's the thing is, Jesus sort of just leaves us to the devils we know, as you said, because I guess we like it better that way. And in this world where there's a bunch of bad news swirling everywhere, all these sort of these things, they keep us locked in our own little dark tombs, right?
Yeah.
And if Jesus were to come and touch those areas, shine light on the darkness in those areas of our world, you know, would we ask him to leave too? You know, would we kick him out? If he started healing all that stuff that we're trying to keep locked away because we don't want to look at it, which is probably the reason why we like having a legion in our life that we can point to and say they're the bad people, because then we don't have to look at our own skeletons in our closet, the own demons in our own lives. You know, we don't have to think about it. We'd probably shout and tell Jesus, get out of here too, because it's just, it's a lot when you start unearthing and turning over all that brokenness in your life.
Right. Right.
We would probably respond in the same way, which is kind of sad, but the
that
reason
felt like
why
an,
we need
it felt like such a bad gospel to preach. Like, this is sad, but we'd probably respond this way, you
yeah,
know? So,
that's, but the gospel, I suppose, I would be, to end that, would be Jesus will keep showing up, you know, even though we keep kicking him out.
Yep.
I believe Jesus will keep showing up on his boat, ready to do some work, even though we keep kicking him out. He'll keep coming back, you know.
Yeah,
you know, they crucified him, and on the cross he said, "Forgive them; they don't know what they're doing." We don't know what we're doing, so, and he came back after 3 days too. So, you know, and that's the law is that if Jesus appeared to us today and started healing the darkness in our world, we would probably kick him out too. But then the gospel is, even though we keep kicking him out, he'll keep coming back. And that's the good news there, I suppose. But
demons,
man,
demons. Crazy. Yeah, I was getting lost in this message a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot
as I was
there's
writing it and thinking about the world and having questions about it too. Of like, this just is. I don't know. Demons are just really complicated.
Yeah, it's a complicated business, this demonology and stuff. And I wish I would have taken that class in seminary.
I
wish
I
would have
tell
taken
you that it gave me more answers, but it
gave you a jumping off point.
Right.
I wish I would have taken podcasting in seminary. I wonder now that Luther's selling
they
the campus, maybe
they don't know how to do
they'll jump into podcasting. Sure they will. Come on, Dana. Anyway, you got anything else coming up at 40 minutes here?
I don't know. No, I kind of, I think we got to let this one be what it
is. Yeah, let it breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to take in
there
here.
There was, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm feeling it after. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
After sitting with it for a while.
Mm-hmm. It's also very hot outside. It's scrambling our brains. That's another reason. Just not with it today. It's my day started with coffee spilling on the floor. Dana rushed into the sound room and was like, did you know the coffee is open? And I had started brewing the coffee for church, and I left the tap open in the carafe of coffee. So as it was brewing,
it
was spilling onto the floor.
Okay, I closed it before I came to
tell
you
about it. Yes,
you
did, but I was, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that.
I did yell about it, but you were in the sound room and couldn't hear me. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no. Whoops. It's fine. We got it cleaned up.
Yes, we
did. But yes, the heat kind of scrambles your brain a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So, drink water.
Yeah.
Everybody. Yeah. Drink water out there. If you
electrolytes, Gatorade.
Yeah. And if you're sweating a lot, yeah, make sure your water has a little bit of salt in it.
Uh-huh.
You need your electrolytes.
Uh-huh.
If you have a place with air conditioning, sit there.
Yeah.
You know, get out of the sun.
Don't let the dog's paws touch the
ground.
Don't
let the dog's paws touch the hot concrete. You'll burn their little beans.
Burn their little beans.
So sad. Yeah. So stay cool out there, everybody, through this heat wave. And, if you have anything else you want to say, as always, we want to continue this conversation with you. So drop by the church, call us, send us an email.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on demonology and all this, because it's a complicated one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of opinions surrounding it. So hope to hear from all of you. You all come
all
to the
of
church
you.
At once.
All
please
of you.
Please do. I mean, we've got millions of listeners.
I mean, we
out
could.
There.
Well, no.
No. but yeah, thank you for
millions
listening.
Millions of listeners.
Millions
out there.
And millions of devoted fans.
Peace.
And peace
through peace.
Peace through peace.
Peace through peace. Bye.
Bye.